Hey guys, I'm Morgan. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is November the 4th of 2015. I have a sponsor, and I have sponsored women in the past, but I am available to sponsor. I have a home group. It's a Tuesday night step meeting in St. Pete at Allendale United Methodist Church at, did I say Tuesdays at 8 o'clock? So if you're ever in St. Pete, you should come out. It's a good meeting. It's real small, so we need some love. I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm extremely nervous to be up here. I've been thinking about this all day. I haven't shared my story in a while, and I only share that because I feel like it loses a little bit of its power if I say it out loud. And so, yeah, and that's really with anything that has come at me in sobriety. I've learned that whenever I say something out loud or if I tell somebody else how I'm feeling, that it loses a little bit of its power, and it's not as big of a deal as I have been, like, racking it up to be in my brain. So that's why I let you know how nervous I am. So, but I'll try to time this right, but I will start at the very beginning. I was born in New Jersey and moved to Mechanicsville, Virginia, when I was 5, and that is, like, 15 minutes north of Richmond. So that's where I grew up, and I had an awesome family. So I really don't have any excuse behind the alcoholism. It is just a genetic thing. It runs in my family. My uncle was an alcoholic, my grandfather, his dad, all on my mom's side of the family. So I never believed my mother when she told me to be careful. I was like, there's no way that you can just, like, not stop drinking if you want to stop. I didn't understand what that meant. There was no way it could be a genetic thing, but she did warn me, that's for sure, because she had to deal with a lot throughout her life with that, dealing with her family members and stuff. But I grew up in a great family. They were always very supportive of everything I wanted to do, but I've always heard people speak about that uneasiness that they felt as a child. And they would relate that to their alcoholism and how that they can, like, I don't know, it just relates to how I'm feeling today and, like, how I felt throughout my whole life. And I do 100% relate to that. I was always super awkward. I was extremely tall. When I was younger, to put into perspective, when I was in fifth grade, I was, like, 5'2". So I was, like, that kid in the classroom picture who was, like, this tall and, like, everyone else was down here. And it was just, like, I always felt like I was crawling out of my skin. I felt like that from as long as I can remember. And I had friends, and I would play sports and all that stuff, but I just never felt a part of, no matter what I did. Fast forward to middle school, I was in New Jersey visiting my family, and my 16-year-old cousin invited me to a party, and that was the first time that I ever got my hands on alcohol. And I thought it was really cool that nobody knew how old I was because I was so tall. Everyone thought I was older. But just the first time I drank, I really felt like I had arrived. I've heard a lot of people say that. I've heard a lot of people say that they didn't experience that until later, but, like, the moment that I started drinking and conversing with other people, I immediately felt prettier, smarter, funnier, shorter, a part of, like, I just felt like I was a part of it, and that is what I needed to feel better. And so from that day forward, like, I just, all of those behaviors began for me. Like, my cousin taught me how to lie to my parents, and I told them, like, it was so easy for me to tell my parents at 12 years old or 13 years old or however old I was at that time. I was like, yeah, we all went out to dinner, and then we did this, this, and this, and it just, like, flowed. Like, it was natural for me to lie. It was natural for me to, like, tell you the wrong thing and to do something that I wasn't supposed to be doing. And I got, like, not even from just the drinking, I got, like, a high from being able to do that from the very, very beginning. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm going to be doing. So when I went back home, so I'm only in, like, 6th or 7th grade, I am playing sports, so that's kind of that was always a big thing for me growing up. So it was always, like, a battle between my athletics and my drinking. It was always a battle between the two. I loved them both, and I thought I loved them both equally, but later you'll find out that I loved alcohol more. But I played basketball, I played softball in middle school, and I would always, during basketball season or whatever, I would just do that. I would give my all and just do that. And then as soon as it was over, I was trying to find the older people to hang out with and, like, getting alcohol when I could, drinking on the weekends. I got arrested for shoplifting when I was, like, 14, and it had nothing, there was nothing I couldn't have been like, hey, Mom, can I have some money? She would have given me money. I just liked to do stuff I wasn't supposed to do. And so that happened. That was my first run-in with the law. You'll find out, like, I just get in trouble. When I drink, I get in trouble. I am, like, a magnet to that. And it began at a super young age. And I feel like this microphone's really tall. Can you guys still hear me? Okay. So fast forward a little bit to high school. I started playing volleyball, which is, I fell in love with volleyball in high school. So I put my all into that for about 2 years. And when I do something, like, I feel like I do it full force. So I didn't really drink much at all for a couple years because I was so obsessed with volleyball. Like, I stopped playing all the other sports I was playing. I was playing volleyball every single weekend. I was on, like, a national team. I was, I was communicating with different colleges and stuff like that about playing in college. And things were going really well. And then with being really good at volleyball came, like, a lot more friends that were older than me. And I kind of started to slip into this lifestyle of, like, hanging out with all the older boys and going to all their parties. And, like, then I would start doing things at these parties that were causing me to get some bad attention. But, like, I didn't care. Because any attention was good attention in my book. Like, I just would, like, thrive off that stuff. I started drinking every weekend, and then it came to the point where, like, my junior year-ish, I was, like, drinking right before games. Like, we would have, like, a big tournament all weekend, and I would drink all night long on Friday night and then show up, like, a hot mess the next day and try to play in this tournament, and I would be sick, and, like, so my coach and my parents kind of had to intervene a little bit with that, and so I was able to dial it back. A big thing for me is I was really good at dialing it back for really short periods of time to, like, get you off my back, to show you that I had it under control and that my priorities were in order, and that you were wrong and that I have this all under control. So, but yeah, that same junior year, I ended up getting my first drinking charge, but it was a bunch of people. It was like 15 of us got in trouble that night because a bunch of cops just raided a party. Like, you know, I'm sure it's happened to a lot of you, but it was just like everybody was so mortified, and like most of those people, that was where it stopped. Like, they were like, oh my gosh, this is terrifying. Like, I can't live this life. Like, I didn't care. I thought it was so cool. Like, inside, I thought it was so cool that I had gotten in trouble and that everyone knew, and I'm so cool, and I drink, and I do what I'm not supposed to do. And I just thrived off of that attention. And I would have never been able to tell you that then. Like, I would have never been able to say that out loud, but I just loved the attention, and I loved doing stuff I wasn't supposed to do. I loved the effect that alcohol produced. I would always say, oh, well, I'm not doing anything illegal, but, like, I would literally always say that, and I'm 16, 17 years old, so this is clearly illegal, but, so my senior year of high school, I was captain of the volleyball team. I had just played in this huge showcase tournament. We had a big tournament in the beginning of the year, every year, and we would play, and these college recruit guys would come, yes, the scouts, thank you, they would come and watch, and it went really well. And then the next week I got a DUI, and for the longest time I would tell people that I would tell this, like, crazy story of, like, how it happened, and that there was no way that I was drinking because it happened in the middle of the afternoon when I was supposed to be at school. And I went through all these, like, crazy measures to, like, prove to people that I didn't do this, and, like, would tell these elaborate stories to the point where I felt like I believed them myself. And obviously, like, you can't fake a blood test, so that's where that led me to. And so I got in trouble for that, and got kicked off the volleyball team. I had to have this big meeting, and I can still, like, see it happening in my brain. I had to have this meeting with my principals and my coach and the athletic director, and we were sitting in their office, and they were just like, they were always on my side. I felt like throughout all the stuff, the drinking charge, all of my shenanigans, like me showing up to school, like, half drunk from the night before, and they were always, like, pulling for me. I felt like they just, like, wanted to help me so bad, but they sat there and they were basically like, there's nothing else we can do for you. Like, you have dug this hole, and through law, like, there's, like, a code, you can't be on the team anymore. And so, like, all of the dreams were shattered in that moment, and I was just like, well, this is it. My life is over. Everyone knows. I'm so embarrassed. All that stuff. Because I almost think that I used that as, like, defining who I was, in a way, at that time. So not even a month later, I had gone from, like, 0 to 100. And for some reason, when I drink, I like to drive around. And so I was 17 when the first one happened, and it was right before my 18th birthday. I got another one. I got another DUI. And at that point, I was just like, whatever. It just comes with the territory now. This is who I am now. Like, I just did not care anymore. And my parents, like, pulled a bunch of strings and got me into this drug court program for adolescents a week before I turned 18. And so I went through that whole drug court program. It was, like, 9 months long, and I didn't drink the whole time because they would show up. My probation officer guy would show up and, like, give me pee tests, and they would test it for, like, 80 hours back for alcohol. So I was like, all right, well, I just won't drink for the whole drug court. And then I celebrated at Beach Week after drug court was over, after I had just lied to everybody about being sober and, like, wanting to live this lifestyle, and I had gotten into college. I decided that I was going to go to college at East Carolina University in North Carolina, in Greenville, North Carolina, which was probably not a good idea. And so I celebrated from that. I celebrated getting into college and finishing drug court by going to Beach Week and just, like, tearing it up. I don't even know how else to describe it, but so I was able to keep it together, I guess you could say, or under control for a little while after that, because I knew that I had people watching my back, my parents, because they had just, like, dished out all this money for me to go through drug court, hiring lawyers and all that stuff. God bless them. They did that a lot for me. But so I get into college and I meet this guy who would turn into my boyfriend. And he was friends with my cousin, and he was just as bad as me. And my cousin told me not to date him. And I was like, he was like, I didn't even want to tell him that I had a cousin because I knew that y'all were going to start dating. And that is exactly what ended up happening. And that is where it really took off. I moved out of my dorm after my first semester at school and moved into a house with him and two of his friends. I just decided that was a good idea, and there was nothing my parents could say to stop me from that, because I was allowed to live off campus after my first semester, so that's what I did. And everything was fun for a little while. I would be lying if I said that I didn't have a lot of fun living in that house with them, because I did. But it was very short-lived. That house turned into, like, the biggest party house. There were people coming and going that I didn't know. One of my roommates in there had this, like, he was, like, selling drugs out of our house, and I didn't know for a while. I was very, like, I just didn't know what was going on half the time. And he had this huge safe that was, like, this big, and it had all this stuff in it, money, like, lots of cash, lots of drugs, guns, you name it. Like, he had it, and he was doing all of this out of the house that I was living in, and I didn't think anything of it. Even later when I found out, I was upset about it, but then, of course, was able to be, I guess, talked into easily. I'm, like, very easily manipulated when it comes to stuff like that, because, like I said, like, I want anything that's going to change the way I feel, anything that I'm not supposed to be doing. I always drew lines in the sand, as I've heard a lot of people call it. I would never drink and drive. Well, I did that. And then I was never going to drink in the morning. I was already doing that. Or I would go through stints, like, even as a teenager, where I was drinking in the morning just to, like, feel okay with the way I was living, because deep down inside I knew that I didn't want to be that way. And I was starting to begin to understand how it was, or how my uncle was feeling, because I never understood at the time, and I would get so upset with him when he would just not stop drinking and continue to hurt his family. And I was starting to understand how he felt in those moments when I was, like, getting up to drink in the morning. So that was another line that I had crossed. And then I was never going to, like, do any drugs or any pills that weren't prescribed to me. And that was, I mean, that turned into a way for me to get you up, for me to tell you that I didn't have a drinking problem, basically, is I would go a month without drinking, but here I am. I'm sorry to talk about drugs in AA, but, I mean, it's a big part of my story, because I did spend probably a solid year just experimenting with, like, anything that I could get my hands on, basically. And that was a big thing for me. Like, I would go home. I went home one time. I would never go home. I was never calling my parents, and which is very unlike me, because I'm a huge family person. But I would go home. I went home, I think, after 6 months or something, and I had lost probably 40 pounds. I was skin and bones. I had my mom and my boss. I remember my boss asked me if I was doing drugs, and I was offended. I was so pissed off. I was like, how dare my boss accuse me of doing drugs? And I'm like, I am doing drugs, but, like, how dare her accuse me of that? And it's just, everybody around me was so concerned and, like, didn't know what to do, and I'm just running around like a tornado through these people's lives. Meanwhile, I don't think I'm affecting anybody else around me. I'm like, get off my back. This is my life, not yours. And I just had a terrible attitude. I didn't listen to anybody. And after that, I probably didn't go home. I don't know. I didn't go home again for, like, another year or so after that, because I just didn't want to hear it. And I wasn't calling, and that, like I said, it's very unlike me, because I love my family. I was brought up as just, like, we're such family people. And it was just very unlike me. But the relationship was extremely, extremely toxic. We ended up getting kicked out of that house, just the two of us, and I talk about this because I relate my relationship with the guy that I was dating for 4 years to my addiction, because I was 110% addicted to him and that relationship, the same exact way that I think that I'm addicted to drugs and alcohol. Anything that's toxic, anything I'm not supposed to have, like, I thrive off of that. Like, I just want more of it. And that relationship was just so toxic. It was violent. There was always police being called, neighbors calling the police on us, me calling the police in, like, being frantic because I think that, like, I'm going to be seriously hurt. My dog's going to be seriously hurt. It was really bad. We got kicked out of two places. We got kicked out of that house, and then we got kicked out of an apartment that we moved into after that, because our neighbors filed so many complaints on our, like, insane fights at night that we had to move again. And it was just it was a mess. And I would have blamed, I blamed all of my drug use. I was like, it's the drugs and it's him. It's not, I never could look at myself. And it was so easy for me to point the finger at him because there was one instance where the police were called, and it was like inevitable. They were like, we have been to this house so many times that you have to either like move or file a restraining order. Like, this can't keep happening. And so I filed a restraining order against him, and I had, I think I was away from it for a week, and then I was like going behind everybody's backs and like seeing him again, and it just like, it just, I can't even describe like the cycle that started to go down. And it was, I only tell like a blurb of that story just because I think that it relates a lot to my alcoholism, and I only saw that after I did my fourth step in AA, my fourth and fifth step. It's just all addictive behaviors. And I had a lot of issues, even in sobriety, with that whole relationship with him trying to reach out, even though there's a restraining order and, like, all of this stuff going on that I, it took me a while, it took me a while to get through that in particular. Not only that, but, like, after I moved, because I did the, like you, I did the geographical change. I thought it was the guy, and I thought it was where I was living, because everybody else around me knew only of what he was doing to me, and so I was playing that victim card, and I loved it. I loved every second of it. I almost loved that I went through that, because I was able to use it to my advantage and be like, oh, well, I'm drinking so much because this happened to me. If this had happened to you, you would be drinking the same exact way, or you would be doing the same exact stuff that I'm doing. And I used that to my advantage for a long time. I went into a support group for people who have been through, like, domestic relations, like, really severe domestic relationships, and I thought, I just loved it because I was able to talk about myself, and people would feel sorry for me, and I would get all the attention that I, like, I craved. And that didn't work for me very long, but in that small amount of time, I, in all that, I dropped out of school, by the way, if you guys didn't catch on that, but, so, when I moved, I was enrolled in one online class at the end, so that didn't work out, and so I moved home, and, I thought that was gonna fix me. I ended up getting another DUI, so total, I have three altogether, but only, two, or one is on my record, because the drug court got rid of the first two. So I got really lucky with that. So, but after you're 21, I guess you can't really do that anymore, especially after you've already been through it twice. So it just went downhill after that. And I had been in AA a lot in that time period, like court mandated AA, a lot of that. I did IOP once through, I did like half of another IOP. I would, like, call treatment centers. I don't know if anybody else has ever done this. I would, like, call treatment centers when I was drunk because at the end I'm, like, drinking alone. And I'm just, like, talking to these treatment center people on the phone and, like, telling them what's going on. And, like, I know, it's ridiculous. And I was, like, really, really knew that I needed help at that point, but I didn't want to admit it. And that was kind of when I realized that it wasn't a geographical cure wasn't for me. Like, I was either going to get sober or not. My mom is, at this point, my mom is, like, begging me to do something. She's like, you either got to go to treatment or you got to move out. Like, you can't keep living in my house like this. Because basically I was just taking up space in her house at this point. Still using that same victim mentality. But I didn't know what to do. And so I was, like, sitting in my room. I don't know if anybody has ever felt like, I don't know, I wanted to die. Like, I would pray that I would die. But, like, I wouldn't ever actually have the courage to, like, commit suicide. I just was like, maybe one day I just won't wake up. And that's legitimately how I felt. Like, I would be upset in the morning when the sun came up because I would just have to go through that cycle all over again. And that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to actually go to AA. So I went to AA, and I drove a little ways. Like, I drove, like, 25 minutes away because the meetings that were in the little tiny town that I lived in, I didn't really like. And I was like, oh, these aren't for me. So I went to these meetings across. It's kind of like driving from St. Pete to here. They were just, like, full of young people and full of, like, happy people. And I was like, how are these people so happy? And I just don't understand. And I really didn't want to do it. I give all of that to my higher power today because in those moments, like, I would never do that. That's never something that I would just go and do, go ask somebody to be my sponsor. Like, I called this lady and just met her for coffee and asked her to be my sponsor. And when I worked the first three steps, I didn't even really believe it. I was just going through the motions. And then as I kept going and as I kept going, my life started to change. And I was able to, like, see my life for what it really was. And I began to actually be grateful that I had these issues because my biggest issue was that I thought I was unique. I thought that I was the only one that felt this way. I thought that I was the only one that, I really just thought that I was the only one that really felt like that, and I didn't know where else to turn. And the fact that I was listening to other people basically tell my story and tell me how I was feeling, I was like, this is, I can't even put into words how much that first 9 months of my sobriety changed my life, because the beginning of it was just me going through the motions, and I honestly don't remember a lot of the beginning of it. Like, the first 90 days of it, I'm shocked I got through it, because I really didn't want to be there, and I really truly believe today that God carried me through that time for a reason, so that I could get to the point where I finally started to get it, and to start to get what the whole purpose was for me. And that is to continue to carry the message, because I do not want to be standing up here in front of all these people telling my story. But, like, when I'm asked to do something for AA, if it can even, one thing that I say helps one person, it's like I have done what I am supposed to do. And it's not to say that I haven't gone through moments where I feel like I don't want to do AA anymore. It gets in the way. I just moved here 2 months ago, which is like a miracle in itself, because I've always wanted to move down here. My family has been vacationing down here for as long as I can remember, and I have been wanting to move here forever and never thought that I would be able to do it. And just the fact that I was able to, like, build myself back up through working the steps, through talking to other alcoholics, and, like, making a plan, somehow this all worked out. And the way that it worked out was as if it was supposed to happen this way for me to be here. And it just blows my mind that I'm even standing here speaking at a meeting in Tampa, because this is where I've always wanted to live. And just the fact that I'm able to do it today, especially because of the way that I was living my life, I never even thought that I would really make it to live to 25. The way that I was living, I mean, I had, like, really high blood pressure, I had a lot of health problems going on, and, like, it was just real bad. And I just really, like, just the way I was living, whether it be because I was drinking and using drugs so much, or I ended up, like, committing suicide or whatever the case may be, I really did not think I was going to make it to 25. So the fact that I was able to not only make it to 25, but, like, find something that I'm passionate about doing, move 800 plus miles away from my family and still be closer to them now than I've ever been, than I ever was when I lived in their house, before when I was drinking, is a miracle. And, just recently, I haven't even told many people this story because it just happened, working steps 8 and 9, was, like, the biggest fear. Like, after all of the 4 and 5 stuff came out, like, working steps 8 and 9, I so much fear behind that. And this girl that she wasn't even on my 4th and 5th step. I didn't even realize I needed to make amends to her. She was, like, such a good friend to me, and she helped me through all of that ridiculous court stuff that I had going on with the boyfriend. She let me live with her for a little while, even through my mess. And I never realized why we grew apart. I had no idea, and I realized it, like, dawned on me one day that I needed to make amends to her because we hadn't talked in years, and there was a reason she wasn't speaking to me, and I did not know why. I truly didn't know, and I reached out to her before I moved, and she didn't respond, but just last week, she finally responded to me, and we were able to talk, and she basically told me exactly what it was that I did that hurt her, which was the fact that I used her throughout all of that. I just lived at her house and then dipped. Like, I didn't say anything. And I was like, it was the weirdest experience. I was like, I did do that, but, like, I really didn't know before that that's what I did. I don't know. It was crazy. But now I've probably talked to her it was last week, but I've talked to her, like, every other day since then. And it was just, things will come to you as you go. And that's the cool thing about this program is that we're able to continue to work it every single day. Because I want to isolate. When I moved here, I really didn't want to come to AA. Because I've learned through this program that everything that I, like, I'm scared of everything. When I first got here, I would have told you I was not scared of anything. But there's fear around everything that I do. So I've learned that if I just recognize it as fear and just do it anyway, that usually I will come out on the other side of it happier, stronger, have learned something, looking back on it and being like, oh, wow, I did that thing that I was scared of, and now I'm not scared of it anymore. Even though every time I speak, I'm scared. But I still do it. Because that's the whole point of AA, is to carry the message. Because when I first got here, I really thought that I was just here to stop drinking, and you guys were going to teach me how to stop drinking and how to live. But, like, through the whole process and going through the steps multiple times, it's like you learn, and with other people, gosh, like, going through the steps with other women, it just, like, that's when you, like, really realize that you're here for that reason. And it's to continue to carry the message, and to be able to do things that you never thought you could do, but to continue to work the program, because I feel like it's not really natural for me to want to be here, but, like, if I continue to push myself to come to AA even when I don't want to, my network just continues to grow and my life just continues to get better. So that's all I got. Thanks.